Pitching large retailers is a completely different process and timeline than working with independent retailers. I also know, having worked with thousands of brands, that it can feel like a really intimidating process to pitch your work to these key accounts. So today we're pulling back the curtain and explaining how it all works. My guest today is Sally Duguette, a home and lifestyle buyer with Anthropologie. Through an unpredictable path, Sally landed in the retail space and has over 14 years of experience in buying, product development, and sourcing. Sally is an innovative merchant and consultant. She centers her work around relationship building and creative strategy, combining unique product development and sourcing from national brands across a variety of categories. Her passion lies in working with emerging brands in an incubator capacity to build fresh product offerings, solid organizational systems, and a strong team structure. On today's episode, Sally shares about the buying process and schedule for Anthropologie. We talk specifically about the timelines that she's working with for both exclusive products as well as ready-made products. And she offers advice for how to get your products in front of key account buyers. Today's episode is brought to you by our Unlock Buyer Secrets interview series. To make a strong first impression with wholesale buyers, we need to do a few things really well. We need to make it easy for stores to purchase from us. We need to have clear pricing and terms and conditions. And we need to add value at every touch point with our customers. And all of this becomes infinitely easier when we're actively listening to our customers. This on-demand interview series will give you a competitive edge by providing you an exclusive window into what buyers want and what they need from you. And the best part, it's only $27. So you can get access at prooftoproduct.com/unlock. That's prooftoproduct.com/unlock.
I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Sally, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I am thrilled to have you. You and I have already chatted a few times behind the scenes privately, and then also you came into our labs program and did an incredible Q&A. Our students just loved hearing from you and hearing about the behind the scenes of what you do at Anthropologie. So let's give our listeners a little bit of insight. You have such a rich and varied background. Please tell our listeners about yourself and this career path that led you to becoming a buyer at Anthropologie.
Yeah, totally. I mean, first, I'll just say I really loved being a part of labs and getting a chance to chat with that community. So I'm excited to just kind of continue that conversation and keep things going and continue to meet new folks also that are in your sphere of the world. My background, yes, is a little unique. I would say I had a very non-traditional path into the career that I'm in today in buying. But I also think that a lot of people that want to get into the buying space don't realize that like a non-traditional path is also very common. So non-traditional slash traditional kind of in a way. But I guess quick backstory, I'm from Atlanta. So I went to school at Georgia State University. I never knew what I wanted to do when I was like coming out of high school and starting college. I ended up in the business program because I've always been really interested in business and like thought I maybe wanted to do like finance even, which is so far from what I'm doing now. But within business, eventually landed on marketing, which felt like somewhat like the direction I wanted to take, but also at the same time is so different than what I'm doing now. And it took me a really long time to get through school because I was always so like, I don't know where I see myself landing. I was always a really creative person. So even though I knew that I wanted to get a degree that was like, I want to get a job at the end of the day. So I didn't necessarily want a creative degree, but I was like, I want something that still feels creative and can also be like business minded at the same time. So it actually took me 10 years to get through undergrad. And throughout that time in Atlanta, I got connected with a small business owner who was opening up a new retailer in Atlanta at Ponce Market, if anyone's familiar with the area, which is like an old industrial, like revitalized part of the city. And it was a one-off, very like vendor and market-based. Original plans were like for it to be sort of like boothed out and kind of feel like antique markety almost, which is how it started, but like quickly shifted. And I met him, started working for him as like very much a sort of like inventory product operations sort of role. And then over the almost 7 years I was there, went into much more product focus in terms of buying and sourcing all the vendors that we worked with, creating the like consignment model that the shop was based on, which was really interesting and definitely gave me a lot of like hands-on experience and just of like how to work with vendors and making things feel feasible for them and also feasible for the business I was working for. So over the course of those years, I worked with, I think, like 600 or 700 small brands, which was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So many, because they were rotating all the time. So yeah, we had about 200 at any given time across the store. The store was 12,000 square feet. So it was
wow,
big, and we had a lot of space to build. And we also had a segment of the store that was set up for, we called them studio makers, but essentially brands, small brands that were like very new and emerging would come in and put their studio in there, and customers could like see them working and making their like leather wallets or making their candles while they were shopping, which was a really cool, yeah, consumer experience. But I loved it because I was like sourcing those brands and helping them set up, but then also like helping them devise plans on like, how can I grow my business? How can I like make this a business? Because a lot of times it was like a hobby at that stage for them and they really wanted it to be a business. So those brands specifically, I loved working with, and I think kind of like started to really light the fire under me of like, oh, I kind of like this as a career path. Like maybe I want to continue in this space, because I wasn't originally thinking that. And so then when I was like, okay, I've been here for 7 years, I'm ready to kind of like take the next leap, I was looking for buying positions and ended up at Anthro, which is great. And really, again, never expected it, but I'm very happy to be there. And that's how I got to where I am today.
What an amazing story. I love that you were, you know, it was like a path of self-discovery, but at the same time, you were learning all these critical skills that now led you. I love looking back at my own path even and saying like, you know, this job seems so random when I look at my resume, but at the same time, it taught me these incredible skills that are now utilized in my business every single day, whether it's communication or organization or time management or whatever it is. And I don't know, I'm a big believer in all of our life experiences do really play into what we're doing now. So thank you too for sharing that.
Yeah, okay, of course.
Let's talk about what you're doing at Anthro, because Anthro has a pretty big buying team and you're one of those members. So tell me about which product categories, or tell me what you're focused on there and what you're a buyer for, because I know there's multiple teams.
Yes, yes, yes. So many of us. So I am under the Anthro Living segment of the brand. So a lot of people, I think when they think Anthro, they think of the clothing. So I'm in the home space for Anthro Living. And then within that, I'm in the gift and entertaining business. And then within that, my specific product focus is kind of like a catch-all category, honestly, in a way. And it's paper, books, games, pet, a little kid's thrown in there, some tech also. So it's very like lifestyle is the way I sort of describe it to people outside of our internal organization. And it is both like an in-house product development category, but it's also a very market-driven category as well, which differs a little bit from some of the other buying teams. But at the end of the day, I'm within home and within gift entertaining.
Thank you for sharing that with us. One of the topics we covered in labs, it was a pretty juicy conversation, I have to say. You were very generous with your knowledge base and just kind of walking people through, look, here's what it looks like working with a key account, and here's how you get your foot in the door. And so I want to bring some of those topics here to the podcast episode, but we don't want to dish it all here. We just
right, you got to go there too.
Exactly. So one topic we covered though was general buying schedules, because as we all know, key accounts, larger stores, it's a very different process than working with independent retailers from the manufacturer seller side, a vendor side. So can you share a little bit more about the process and schedule that you all work with at Anthro for our listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I will say, as kind of an overarching guide, it's about a 12-month process from the time a larger key account is setting forth their season and sort of saying, here's what the general concept and vibe and mood is, all the way to like, all right, here's when we need it in the DCs and the warehouses. So it's a very long lead time, which is very different from smaller business for sure. Within that 12 months, there's obviously a lot of sort of checkpoints and different things where brands can get involved and start pitching or sort of be like in the midst of the pitching progress. And then when it finally hits time of like, okay, we're ready to submit POs. So at the longest 12-month mark, I would say, is the best time for if there's any customization that you can offer to brands, if there's any exclusivity that you can offer to brands, that's really the time period where you want to at least be sharing that with them so that on the buying end, the buyers can start to like think of you as an option for that, but also start to kind of slot in areas of like, okay, I know that I really like the quality of this brand. I might want to work with them for something exclusive or customized for that season. I would say around more like 9-month mark, the actual like design and sampling of the product development is more so happening and things are really starting to frame up a little bit more seriously in terms of like, this is what the season's going to look like and these are the types of products I really need and want to have for that season. And then the midpoint around the like between 9 and 3 months is all the nitty gritty of like, how is that product actually getting developed? What are the negotiations going back and forth for costing and units and MOQs and all the fun stuff? The logistics of it. And then 2 to 3 months before product is like hitting the actual DCs, brands are usually requiring final samples to come in so that they can utilize those to do like visual store setups, product photography for their websites, make sure leadership is like, yes, 100%. We don't want to make any more changes before we get to that final delivery. And then you get to final delivery point, which is obviously the best and the end result that we all want. And then it usually takes another like month for product to get to stores for larger operations as well, which I think is oftentimes like a piece that people kind of forget about. You're like, yeah, it hit my DC, but you won't actually see it in the store for a hot minute. So like, don't go until another month and then you'll see it there. But yeah, I would say that's kind of the general gist of like the whole period.
No, that's great. I think by the time they let go of it and get it to your distribution center, that feels like their end is done. And I know but it's not. So I hear what you're saying about they forget about that last month of we need some time on our end to get it out to the stores and all of that. Let's talk about, you know, you mentioned a whole year out and those are mostly for your exclusive or custom type products. Mm-hmm. Are you buying on a shorter timeline for things that are ready made off the shelf that are just kind of in their regular wholesale catalog?
Yeah, definitely. So the 12 month is definitely more focused on exclusive and like collaborative product with brands. If it's off the shelf, it's still quite a long lead time.
Yeah.
I would say it's more in that like 6 to 9 month window though. And some of it can differ just depending on the season of the year. Like for holiday deliveries, I work much farther out than summer just because holiday is so important and it needs to be totally buttoned up in advance. And usually like the units are a lot higher. So we want to give people more heads up of like, hey, I'm going to need you to produce like 2 times as much product during that season than a summer season. So holiday is kind of more 9 month to 6 month for off the shelf. And then some of those like spring summer seasons are more like 4 or 5 to 6 months almost. And then I will say there's always room and opportunity even for larger retailers to chase product. And a lot of times the only thing that they can chase is other brands' product because there isn't time to develop product at that point internally. So those can be really close. I mean, sometimes I'll be reaching out to people like, hey, I want your product in the next 2 weeks, can you do it sort of thing. It's just fewer and farther between than like the larger plans for the season, but it definitely happens a lot, especially in more like trend-driven businesses and categories, which I do have a good bit in that like lifestyle realm, and a lot of retailers and brands do. So there's definitely room for tight buys, even though a lot of it is that longer lead time.
So I want to give a little PSA to our listeners here of like, this is where talking about the benefits to the buyer and how you're going to make it easy for them is really beneficial in your pitches. So letting them know that, hey, we've got stuff in stock ready to ship, especially if you can do larger quantities on a fast turn, that would be really, you would like that, right, Sally? If you were able to, you probably have like a short list of brands, you know, that you can turn to in a pinch if you needed something quickly. And so just a little word to our listeners, like these are the kinds of things that help to make their buying decision, how quickly you can turn it around, what you're offering. Obviously, they want great product and the right price point, but some of these other niceties really do boost you up on the list too. I want to ask about like creative direction, because are you leading that? Is that something that like the team at Anthro is deciding on as a collective? Because you are working so far out, I'm sure they're looking at general trends and colorways and all these different things. How are you guys handling that behind the scenes?
Yes, creative direction, I would say, has a few different areas within it, but there is at Anthro specifically a concept team that their role, which there's a lot to it that I don't even fully grasp and understand since that's not my world, but their role is to set the concept and the vision and the direction for the entire brand for those seasons. And so they're doing a lot of the kind of like front-loaded creative work in terms of trend analysis and forecasting and finding, like they're going to like Paris Fashion Week, like that kind of level. And then on the kind of like more internal buying side, we're using that general concept direction. There is an internal design team that's doing a lot of the like print and pattern and shapes and formats design wise. And then buyers do also hold a big segment of how do I take that concept and translate it into product? How do I translate that into market product as well? And like piecing together an assortment that feels cohesive with that concept, but it's from brands that are in the market. And then also product development wise, there's like a good portion of my role in my buying level that does hold creativity and being able to say like, okay, that's the concept direction that you gave me, but how am I going to specifically translate it into product? And what do I want that to really look like and feel like? And how do I want my end consumer to see it at the end of the day? So lots of levels and lots of different hands that go into that pot kind of like the creative part of product development outside of just the logistics. But I would say each piece in that pot that we're all working in really does have a lot of input and say, even though there's so many like pieces of it that are kind of like starting to set forth before it even gets to me.
That's really cool. I also, it sounds like even though the vision is cast by this creative team, you all have, it sounds like a diverse mix of voices and ideas, and people on the ground in the different categories are lending, you know, what they're seeing to this collective vision.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I would say there's a lot of input that comes from buying also in terms of like going back to those design teams of like, hey, here's something I'm thinking of. Can we also design this? Can we make this fit into the concept in some way for the season? So it definitely goes both ways, which is great. And some of that may be kind of unique to like how the Anthropology teams work specifically. But I think a lot of that is also just the general, like how it works in buying across lots of retailers. But there's push and pull for sure against all the teams. And we sometimes get in little arguments of like, no, I want this, I want this. So there's definitely that within the process too. But to your point, I think it just allows for a lot of like conversation among different viewpoints, which is great at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Okay. So, you know, corporate's driving the creative vision. You're having a say in what's going on. We know the lead times are long. How are, from the vendor standpoint, do you guys offer buying calendar, or do you let folks know kind of what seasons and what themes and what that look, the creative side of things looks like so they can submit? Kind of let's talk about the submission process for folks and how to best do that.
Yeah, totally. Yes, I am always able to provide a buying calendar for anybody that I'm working with, and I have it for the entire year upfront. So I'm already like sharing out all of 2025 to people that I'm working with, and I'll shortly even have the start of 2026, which sounds so wild to even think about. I'm always like, what year is it?
I know, it must be so baffling when you're like, okay, wait, it's 2024. I'm working on 2026 holiday or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
it's it is. So yes, I have that full calendar, and that breaks down like very specifically for people that I am able to share it with, that I'm already in conversation with, of like, here's when I start looking at product. Here's when I'm reviewing it with my larger team. Here's when I'm finalizing it, when I'm POing it, when you need to ship it, when I need to shoot the photography. Like, it has the whole shebang in there, which I find it very helpful, obviously for myself too, but I know that everyone else that I work with kind of externally is like, thank you, this is what I need.
Yeah.
So I love to share the clarity whenever I can. And then same sort of situation with like the creative side of it. I do have kind of like a dialed in version of that concept that the concept team creates for Anthro, sort of pulling out like, here's what's more applicable to my product categories and what I'm really looking for and what I'm hoping to produce with people, sort of like a mood board in a way of like, here's the direction we want to go. And then I also oftentimes provide some guidance on like format types that I'm looking for. So if it's like, I'm looking for journals and box cards and paper or in pets, I really want to make sweaters and beds this season or whatever it is, just to kind of start guiding that process with folks. But I also always think it's important to like pitch outside of what buyers are asking for specifically, because there's always that realm of like, I don't know what you have, so I also want you to tell me so I can see it all. And I think sometimes brands will feel like they have to be a little pigeonholed of like, oh, she only asked me for this very specific thing, so I should only show that. But at the end of the day, I'm like, just send me all of it and I'll run through it and I'll circle some things and send it back to you and be like, okay, yeah, this is what I'm into, but I'll never see it if I don't get shown it. So I do think that's a really important part. But yeah, as much like scheduling and direction that I can give, I'm always happy and very willing to give it, because it also just speeds up the process on both sides. So I think just always ask for it. If you're not getting that from any buying teams that you're working with, they probably have it. They probably just like don't realize that you wanted it yet. So yeah, it's always a good ask.
What about folks that aren't on your radar yet? You know, somebody's listening to the show right now, they would love to work with Anthro and they're not sure how to pitch you or the timing to pitch you. You know, they want to show you everything, but they're just not sure how. Kind of what are some of your top tips for that cold outreach process? How can they how can they be seen?
Yeah, I would say in terms of what to pitch, kind of keeping that long, like 9 to 12 month timeline in mind is great. So that if you're reaching out to someone on like LinkedIn, or you happen to get someone's email, which is always hard to come by, that what you're sending them feels applicable to whatever they're kind of currently thinking about. I think sometimes on my end as a buyer, it can be hard when someone cold calls me or I meet someone new for the first time and they're like, oh yeah, I just released Valentine's Day, and my brain is like in Christmas, and it's just so different that I'm like, oh, I have to remember that person and like make notes to come back to them. So that can really like slow down the process of buyers being able to remember you and know that they want to reach back out to you. So I think if you can kind of, it doesn't have to be completely perfect, but sort of keep an idea of like, okay, they're 9 months out from this holiday season or this time of year, so what I want to show them is this. And even if it's from your previous season's release, I think that's totally fine. It still gives a good idea of like, here's what my product looks like at that time of year. In terms of like how to reach out to people though, and cold call, I know that's really hard and I don't always have the best advice for it. But what I can say from what I think works the best from my end of the spectrum over here in the playing field, LinkedIn is a really good resource. although sometimes not super up to date, which I know can be difficult. But if you do track someone down and send them a message on LinkedIn, I think it's totally fine and acceptable. I think sometimes people get nervous that like buyers might be annoyed by that. And some might, you know, whatever, it happens. But a lot of them, I don't think would be annoyed. And buyers are also always looking for product. So we're interested in seeing new product. So doing a cold call on LinkedIn is totally fine. If you connect with someone either like at a trade show or on a LinkedIn platform that's from the same company that you know you want to reach out to, but maybe isn't the right person, I think it's also totally fine to be like, hey, do you have a contact for X, Y, and Z category at that brand? And sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. Sometimes it's honestly like ships in the night across different categories at brands. But I also think trade shows are great, even though they're very different today than they were like 5, 6, 7 years ago. I still do a lot of like outreach and meeting new people at trade shows. So I think if you're able to attend even some of the smaller shows while you're like getting started, there's still buyers from bigger organizations going to those smaller shows. And I think it's a really good, like worthwhile experience to have to just like get your name out there a little bit more and start meeting people and then be able to sort of like network within that buyer network. But yeah, LinkedIn, I think, is like your friend these days for the most part, and probably the easiest place when you're like newer and emerging to, and you maybe aren't in the physical like trade show world yet. I think that's probably the easiest place to like cold reach out and be like, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I have to share.
And I think too, correct me if you feel differently, but I hear from a lot of buyers, they want to see your product. And if they can't see it in person at a trade show, or, you know, embed those images in your message so they can get a sense of your style, the quality of your work, all of that. But then also, like we talked about earlier in this episode, you want to know, do they deliver on time? Do they have a high quality product? What are the, you know, terms and conditions do play a part in some of this too, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's always important to just go ahead and send your product. I do get emails from time to time that are like, hey, can I send you my catalog? I'm like, yeah, please just send it. You don't even have to like preface that and ask. Just always attach your product, your brand, your website, images. I always think it's good to call out like if I have in stock, if I don't, here's the lead time, whatever. Totally agree with you. I think just give it all up front. And that's honestly, you'll probably get a faster response that way than sort of trying to like be nice almost. Just pitch yourself. Just pitch.
Yeah. Put yourself out there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Be brave. What do you think about like physical samples? If folks aren't doing trade shows, do you like receiving physical samples? Does that logistically work for you and your team, given that some of you aren't in the office all the time?
No, that's a great question. I think physical samples are important, but I also try to limit asking for physical samples until I actually know I want them. I think that's another sort of misconception and like good point that you just made, that we're not all in office all the time. And it's such a different landscape today again than it was like pre-COVID land. So while I do go in the office every week and I have the opportunity to look at physical samples that people have sent me in the mail, if it's sort of like off the cuff, I'm probably less likely to look at that first because time is just limited, in all honesty. And so I don't want people to send things. And I think a lot of buyers would feel this way, that are just going to get like put on a desk or sort of like forgotten about for a while. So I think it's best to go digital first. And like I said, send people the catalog, send images, say like, here's what I have. If you're interested in seeing it in person, let me know. And then I would of course be like, yes, please send me a sample. I'll always make it really clear when I want to see something in person and where to send it to and like how to just logistically work that. But I'm going to be much more likely to actually like touch and feel and see your product if it's a time when I'm in a space to review it and not just like, oh gosh, it's now like on a shelf. And again, it's like, then you forget about it and it just takes more time and sort of like doesn't lend super well to the process. But I think being open when buyers ask you to send a sample, 100%, it's probably because they're actually like really interested in your product and not just saying so. So having them ready and like having one or two of things available at all times if someone does ask you, because they want it then. They don't want to wait for you to like reprint it and then 6 weeks later be like, oh, here's my sample now. So I do think that's really important, just to like have your line available and ready to go when it's asked for, but don't feel like you need to just start sending things out willy-nilly before people are asking for them.
Totally. Nobody wants anyone wasting time or money. So, you know, build the relationship first. I love that. All right. I know you do consulting with brands. Can you tell us a little bit about your services and the support you offer there?
Yeah, definitely. So way back to the beginning of this conversation, when I was chatting about the Studio Maker brands and like having the opportunity to meet new emerging brands and help them decipher, how do I make this happen? That's kind of at my core what I love and why I love working with brands outside of my like 9-to-5 realm. So in my consulting business, I primarily focus on more product, but also some like very general and broad systems of like, I'm a new brand, how do I set up wholesale, or like, how do I set up my own website? What do I need to know about inventory? Like, how do I make a team? Like, I have a new hire. What do I do with my first hire? Like all those kind of like early starting conversations of I'm new and I need to know what the heck I'm doing in this retail space. So I love, love, love meeting new people and having the chance to just kind of walk through like, here's where you are now. Here's where you want to go. What's your like 1 year goal, really? Like, let's stay close to where we are right now in this moment. And however I can assist, whether it's product or operationally, in getting you to that next milestone, that's what I love to do and what I focus on most. I sometimes kind of dabble more and do have some really nice connections just in my time in the retail space of like, if you're looking for more of like team building and leadership, and how do you, once you start to get bigger, especially like, how do you really take your brick and mortar to the next level? But yeah, that's what I love to do. And I always, like I said, found that like the most energizing part of that first role that I held, and just the like satisfaction that I receive also from being able to help people and like make the next step and then watch them grow and be like, oh my gosh, you're like at the next milestone that we talked about getting you to. I really love that part of it. So that's my jam really at the end of the day.
I love that, Sally. I love that you have one foot in this, like, well, both feet are in this corporate world of, you know, working in Anthropologie in this large scale business, yet you still have autonomy and creative authority in your space. But then you're also leveraging this incredibly rich background to still support brick and mortar businesses or even product brands in, you know, how they're getting to their next level. And it's a nice synergistic flow.
Yeah. Yeah, I love having two sides of the coin, really.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Well, tell people where they can connect with you online if they want to find out more about your consulting services or just connect with you.
Definitely. My website's the best place to find me, and it's my full name, Sally Degette, which has a funky spelling, sallydegette.us, and you can find anything and everything about me there.
Awesome. We'll include that in the show notes so people can easily find it. But Sally, thank you for all your contributions to our community. I mean, I love having these conversations with you one-on-one, and you have just given so generously to our entire Proof to Product community, and we just appreciate the support.
Yeah, of course. I'm always so happy to be here and chatting with you and your community, and I have a lot of fun, and thank you everyone for listening to me talk. So always happy to do it.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks, Sally.
Thank you.
It was such a treat to talk to Sally today for the show. And I want to thank her for taking the time and sharing such great insights with us. You know, we also had a very candid Q&A session with her in our labs community, and it was so fun to see the questions that everyone was answering. It's just a pleasure to chat with buyers and to hear what is working or not working for them. You know, when we're able to listen, when we're able to ask questions and connect with different types of buyers, whether they're big or small, it really does provide us with great insights as to how we can better support and collaborate with them, but also how we can put our best foot forward when we're doing our outreach or, you know, answering their questions. There's so much value in listening, but also the connection with these types of candid conversations, which is why we continue to do this podcast and have these conversations, and why we continue to bring in guest experts into our programming. Now, our next round of Paper Camp, which is our wholesale intensive program, will be opening for enrollment soon. Each week, our students hear from unique speakers from all sides of the industry, bringing in different points of view. We bring in manufacturers, we bring in sales reps, buyers, brick and mortar shop owners. We also bring back our alumni to share their experiences of starting and growing their wholesale programs. These lively discussions are really one of the highlights of the program. We do these calls live every week and everyone's invited to participate. If you would like to participate, join the Paper Camp waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Everyone on the waitlist will receive early access to enroll in the program, which is really important because we have sold this program out for 43 rounds. This next round will be round number 44. So again, join that waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Thank you so much for listening until the end. I will be back soon with a new episode.